Hey guys, it's Alexis and Samantha of An Extra Dose, and we are back with another episode for you guys. Happy to be back. Hope you guys enjoyed our other episode last week, and I know we're a day late, but again, we're running late.
We're trying so hard to get it on a strict schedule. It's so hard.
Yeah, we're not trying to complain by any means, but we're obviously just, you know, doing running another part of our business. It's just things happen, and then we're like, oh, we record live, and there's no editing as of right now. I mean, not that we plan on editing a lot later, but it's literally raw. As soon as we record it and we post it, just as is. So, as you can tell.
Hopefully, in the near future, it will be more put together. But for now, this is what...
We excuse the choppiness. But we do have some fun stuff to share with you guys today. It's a lot of stuff that you guys have requested, so I hope that it's helpful and that you guys really enjoy it. So to start off, we're going to be talking about, obviously, I think if you haven't had a chance to listen to our other episode, we did talk about kind of starting a blog, and I need to look up what episode number that is, but it is, we did talk about it, I promise, just about starting a blog and like the pros and cons of having your own business. That was another episode that we did. But today we got a request to kind of talk about just starting a business in general and some tips and unexpected things that can happen, some challenges that you could kind of experience along the way. But obviously, it's like any other thing, starting a business. It's like any other, like starting a job or starting school. I remember going to college and just, you know, it's a really fun experience, but it's very overwhelming and there's so much you have to learn in the beginning. I mean, so much you learn throughout the process, but it's just, it's another one of those life experiences, so it's a big deal and it's overwhelming, and you like so much, you learn a lot. So we kind of wanted to go over just some stuff that we learned starting several of our businesses that we've had. If you guys don't know, we did have a food product, Double Dose Bakery, and we started that at the same time as our blog, A Double Dose. And before that, we also had a personal training business. So we've had, I wouldn't say I'm an entrepreneur, but I guess we kind of are.
I don't think of myself that way, but...
I always think of, like, when we're watching Shark Tank, they go, serial entrepreneur.
I mean, we're not that level,
I'm not a serial entrepreneur, but I don't know if I'm saying that right. I sound so weird. Entrepreneur. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've had our fair share of learning experience along the way, and I'm sure we're only 27. We have a lot left to learn. I'm not saying I'm, like, super wise, but we have learned stuff just along the way, and I think... It always helps to hear someone that's gone through it or just be like, oh, yeah, I feel the same way. Just, I mean, even if you're just starting college or you're starting a new job or a new point in your life, I think you can probably relate to all these things. So if you're trying to start a business, I would say the very first thing you should do is to research a lot. And you can never do too much research. We are those people that research literally everything. I will Google. If I'm sick, I will literally know everything about it, which is a whole other topic in itself. But... We're both the same way. Like, we will literally research everything on Google. Like, Google's my best friend. I research. It's not always good sometimes because...
She's, like, more of a best friend than me? Or he?
No, it's a close second, but... Okay, admit it. You Google a lot of stuff,
yeah,
too.
I do.
So, I would say research. I mean, it doesn't have to be Google, but obviously everyone uses the internet for everything.
Like, I feel like my search history would be...
It'd be weird. I'd be embarrassed having to, like, spit that out. Like, like, what was the last thing... You know, like, people do, like, what was the last mm-hmm. thing you, like, typed or whatever?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to answer.
I don't know. I mean, nothing horrible, but it's probably a lot of stalking for me. Just being honest. So
stalking boys.
Yeah. So I would say research a lot of, like... Research a ton, and when you don't think you research enough, like, do more, because you can never know too much about, like, something that you're gonna do. I mean, I know obviously sometimes it can scare you a little bit. Sometimes I'm researching something, I'm like, oh my god, what was I thinking? This is a disaster. My life is a joke, and I get on this spiral. But like, I think it's really important to know kind of what you're trying to get yourself into. It's in terms of research, I would say, like, research the market, research anyone who's already doing it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You always want to make sure. You might have a really genius idea, and then you realize you think it's like no one else has done it, but chances are, I mean, not to sound negative, chances are someone's already done it, and they've And that doesn't mean you can't do it if someone's already done it. But if they're doing a really good job with it, it's going to, and they have a big market, it would be a lot more challenging than just come in as a smaller guy. It's not saying it's not possible, but you want to know that you have, you know, competitors around if you do. Yeah.
So I think it's super important to know, you know, to know the market, depending on what you're doing. If you're starting like a blog, obviously there's going to be competition. There's going to be other people doing it, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either. I think you can use that and leverage that. So like you can reach out to them and ask them like, how did they get started? What are some things they learned? I mean, not everyone's going to be super gracious and give you information, but I think if you meet the right people and you kind of try to talk to different people, someone will eventually share their tips with you or share things they've learned. I think it's always good to put yourself out there. And if there's something that you're unsure of, or you just don't know how to do something, or you're just kind of starting out, I think it's never bad to reach out to somebody. We get messages all the time about starting blogs specifically. Like, for example, like what hosting do we use, or what, you know, what do we use to make our collages? I mean, I get asked that all the time, and for those asking, it's Photoshop, but there's not a handbook on this. Like, I just honestly just spent a lot of time researching stuff. When we started our podcast, I think Sam, she researched, we don't use anything fancy at all, but like she figured out a way to do it cost effectively to start out, just to kind of see. And that's kind of like another suggestion that we have is don't go spend a ton of money up front. If you're, let's say you're trying to start like a business, I would say don't go like super cheap where it looks like crap, but like try to be the most cost effective that you can. You don't need to spend $1 million for something that you don't know if it's going to go anywhere. So I would just say try to make smart decisions money wise and just kind of see if it takes off or not, because the last thing you want to do is be stuck with, you know, spend so much money and be in debt and then be like, okay, well, this didn't go anywhere. I obviously think you should always go for your dreams and go for your passions and see where it goes, because I think you can never, you'll never regret that. So,
yeah, I was even thinking like while we were talking about investing. Like, for example, our blog, when we switched everything over, like, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, we had Squarespace. We had Wix.
We had Wix because we've already talked about this probably before, but in case you have new listeners, we had a Wix website for our personal training. And at that point, I had no intentions of ever having a blog. We literally, someone said, you could get more traffic, I think.
Oh, yeah.
If that's how it all started. I just remember that.
I just had, that was an epiphany moment.
I know. It was actually, someone had said, you could get more traffic on your website, I think, if, I don't know if this is true or not, but if you have a blog, because you'll get like articles, and if people reference it, you'll get like better SEO, and so you can get more clients, or they find out about you like on Google or whatever. So like, okay, let's add another tab. And like on Wix, if you don't know anything about, I mean, my degree is MIS, but I don't know why I was using that if that's my degree. Nothing against them, but it's good for like
it's easy to build. It's out.
Yeah. So the positives are, if you're trying to build a website and you're listening to this, this might be helpful for you too. If you're trying, it's very easy to drag and drop things on there. It's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, like clip art or something for like websites. You can just drag and drop things. It's very easy to change colors and stuff. When you're doing a normal website, there's a lot of coding involved, and that's why a lot of people hire graphic designers or people that code websites, because you can buy templates, but 99% of the time you might want to change a lot of things on them, or you have a certain vision of what you want, and unless that's your background, you don't know how to do those things. You can Google things, but you are probably scared you're going to mess up the code, but you could break the website. So long story short, fast forward, when we decided, people were asking about our outfits, and we thought, okay, let's get rid of the Wix because the website was horrible and it slows it down. So that's the downside. It's very easy. It's very pretty cost effective and you can make it how you want. But because you're dragging and dropping things, you can imagine you're decreasing your site speed is like horrible, like, which is a big problem for SEO too. So you don't want that's again, like you don't want to spend like a ton of money, but you need to think about like if your site speed's slow and it loads a white page, no one wants to go on it. People would drop off. And we learned that the hard way. That's also something we learned, but on a tangent. But, so we had that, and then I moved everything into WordPress, and I, like I said, that's my background, and we could have easily hired someone to do it, but I kind of have the personality where, which is good and bad, that I want to do everything myself, so I think Alexis was doing something like moving recipes. That's when we did a lot of recipes at the time and a lot of fitness stuff. She moved like some kind of, I don't know, she was moving like articles over. I don't know how you did that. You like copy, I don't know what you did. You were moving them to WordPress. And I was the one who coded everything on the WordPress. So what I did was, a lot of people will spend, a lot of bloggers and people who have websites, they think it needs to look the best, which it does. It's your branding. But people will spend like hundreds of dollars or more on getting a graphic designer or someone who does web designing to do their blog. And like, I totally get that, investing in the money, but you can understand if you hire someone that's very expensive, you spent already a couple hundred dollars just to make it look pretty. That's not the hosting, that's not anything else you need to spend money on, and you don't even have it. Like, I mean, when you're starting out, you don't even have people looking at it yet. So that's what I'm saying. You need it to look pretty, but for example, for us, I just bought a template, and knowing me, I probably bought like the cheapest one I could buy that looked decent. It was probably like $10 or like $30 or something like that. And I like Googled, because I know some of the coding just from my degree, but I also Googled stuff, how to change colors and move like stuff around. And I coded that part myself. Like, again, if you don't have those capabilities, you could hire someone just to do that part instead of hiring them to do the whole thing. Obviously, if you're too overwhelmed to do that, obviously, you know, you could spend more money and get someone to do everything, but you can look through other avenues. I forget who we used for that, to like how we found someone.
What's it called? We Googled it.
It was some website. Studio. No. That's Studio Press was the. But there was a guy that we got someone to help
us. There's so many. Stuff. Well, there's Etsy. Oh, Freelancer?
Yeah, freelancer.com.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah, you can find so many. Freelancer is a great tool.
Yeah, my point is, I'm going on a tangent about blogging. And of course, if you guys want to hear more about this, I feel like we've talked about it in another podcast. But if you want more information on this stuff, we can talk about it. But our main focus, I'm already getting on a tangent, was about running businesses. And I mean, this is part of our business. But my point is, you need to spend enough that it looks presentable. I mean, you also don't want to go, no one wants to go to a website. You know, it's the kind of thing, same thing as like, you have one impression. Mm-hmm. And if they go on your website and it doesn't load, or your social media just looks really bad, you know, those are things you want to invest in. But again, there's two sides of it. You don't need to spend thousands of dollars something when you don't even have that many people looking at it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like that for anything in any business industry. Isn't not just blogging. Like anything that you're doing. Even we did our waffles. We did the lowest. We did everything ourselves. And we tried to go, I mean, not the cheapest route, but the most cost-effective route that we could go.
I mean, the things, ingredient stuff, obviously, that's important.
Right. But I'm saying
Marketing. Yeah. We did all ourselves.
Yeah. So that's another thing, is advertising is super important. Social media, as you guys know, is key in anything. Doesn't even have to be Instagram. It can be anything, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever you think does the best, whatever you guys think that will get the most people, the most traffic to whatever your business is, do that. I mean, obviously, word of mouth is great. You know, I remember we did our personal training business. I remember hustling. We hustled so hard. I remember going to, we just had a bunch of flyers, and we went to a bunch of apartment complexes, and we gave them the flyers. We met with, like, the apartment managers and businesses. I mean, we hustled. I already forgot about doing all that. And now I'm like, I am not salesy at all. So that was way past my comfort zone. But like, another thing is, you're going to have to get past your comfort zone. You're just going to have to just suck it up and just know that you're going to have to do something that makes you uncomfortable. I mean, we still have to do it today, but I just remember doing that. I dreaded, I hated doing it, but I was like,
I was willing to do anything.
I wanted to succeed so badly that I was like, I don't care if this is like, I hate doing it, but we knew we had to do it. So sometimes you just have to do stuff that sucks, and in the end, it might not work, and it might. So you just have to kind of go with the best attitude you can, and if you really want it, you'll work for it. And with social media, I would say, obviously, like I was saying, word of mouth is great. You know, flyers, like in the old school way, is good too. But obviously, social media is a great way to advertise. So whatever platform works best for you, I would definitely say use it and utilize it the best you can. And I'm not saying go hire someone. I mean, I think the best way to do it is yourself, unless you really just don't know
what
you're doing.
If you don't know how to do it, reach out to someone.
Ask, you know, and like, it can be as simple as like, if you know somebody that's like really good at it, just like take them to dinner.
If you're older, ask a little kid. They know what they're doing.
Like, I'm saying, if you don't have money to like to pay like an agency, reach out to a friend, take them to coffee, take them to dinner, make them food, and there you go. Like, you can just get, you know, help with that in a much cheaper way than paying someone a huge fee.
I mean, you're going to have to do the work, obviously.
And then, basically, obviously, everything with business is trial and error. You're not going to just do it one day and it's going to work out. I mean, you might, but the chances are very slim. So just go in it knowing you're going to fail. You're going to mess up sometimes. You're going to learn from it. And that's just that's the whole process of life. It's just the way it is. And not that I'm this wise philosopher, like, trying to be, like, I don't know, some wise person. But it is, like, when I think back to everything we've done, I mean, it's been a lot of trial and error. And there still is, like, every day. There's stuff that we mess up on. There's stuff that you know, you drop the ball on, not intentionally, but if you're doing so many things at once, you can't do everything perfectly. So obviously just, you know, be aware of that. But I think it's never, you should always try something. And if you mess up or you fail, it's okay. So that's my best piece of advice for that is I think you should always try and you never know what's going to happen. It'll lead you to where you need to be eventually. So kind of going on with that topic, we got a request to talk about. Basically, someone wrote in and all of their friends are married or they're dating somebody or they're, you know, living on their own in their own place. And, you know, if you're not doing all those things, you kind of feel like FOMO or you're just kind of like, you know, what am I doing with my life? And I think everybody has been there at some point. You know, everybody is, comparison is a major thing, especially with social media. Everybody is constantly, even Facebook too, like you're constantly seeing who's having a baby, who's married, who's moving into a house, who's getting this degree, who got this job. It's constant comparison. And the thing is, the thing that sucks about it is you really don't ever know. I mean, you know what they're posting, but you don't know if they're really happy or how. It's usually not as it appears, as we all know. But obviously, when you're in a lower place, you're always thinking everything's better on the other side. Everything's, the grass always greener. And I'm not saying everything. I mean, we go through this almost every day. It's hard in any industry that you're in, any point of your life that you're in. You could be, you know, you could have a boyfriend, you could be married and be super happy, but you're still always going to, you know, you're still always going to compare. But I think what the best advice for that would be, for me personally, is to just get off social media. And obviously it's okay to be on there, but I know when I'm already feeling like that, I need to just step aside and focus on myself and especially focus on stuff that's positive in your life. Focus on all the positive attributes you have going for you and know that there's a time and a place that's going to happen for you too. Like, obviously, personally, I'm single and Sam's not. And there's been times where I've been in a relationship and she's not. And now I'm like, while I love dating, it's obviously frustrating. And I just, you know, there's times that I like it. And there's times I'm just like, oh my God, this is like, I don't want to, it's exhausting. And so I'm not trying to go on a tangent. I'm saying, like, the grass is always, I mean, not that I'm saying that your relationship's great. I'm just saying, no. But there's positives to both. There's always positives. You know, there's positives being single. You know, I don't need to go into those, but there's always positives. So I always try to tell myself, okay, you're going to, in the right time, the time will be for you eventually. And there's a plan for everything. There's a reason for everything. And I kind of, in today's blog post, I was writing about something similar. But I think for me personally, it's just kind of, sometimes I even write it down. I'll write in my notes on my phone things that I'm grateful for, because it's so hard. You get so caught up in your life and everything negative, you don't remember to focus on the positive. So I think for me, that's what I try to do. And I think it's important to know, like, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. It doesn't matter if people are moving in with their boyfriends or if they're doing this job and you're still living at home or you're still doing whatever and it's not what you think it should be. That's okay. It doesn't have to be what everyone else is doing. And I think we've both kind of, since we've had each other and just personality-wise, we've both been kind of like, not that we've gone into peer pressure, but we've kind of both done our own thing, even if it's not the norm, like to what everyone else is doing. So I think it's important to just focus on yourself, what makes you happy. And even if it's not what makes you happy, if it's just the kind of point in your life that you're at, just know that you'll get to where you want to be eventually, and you just need to focus on the success in getting there and not worry about whatever else is doing, because everyone's journey is different and everyone has different personalities, different qualities, and everyone's time is different. So just because someone's doing something at this moment doesn't mean you have to be doing the same thing or even go the same path. So even Samantha and I mean, we're twins, but we do stuff, obviously, stuff doesn't always go exactly in line with each other. We have different, you know, ways of thinking about certain things, and there's going to be, I mean, just because we're twins doesn't mean everything in our life's going to go in the same path, the same parallel path. So I don't have anything else to say to add to that, but
yeah, I mean, I agree with what Alex was saying a lot before. I mean, like I said, even related to being the part about being single, there's been times that, like, she was in a relationship and I, like, just was envious of what she had, and now it's like vice versa. But I think you just have to learn, as hard as it is, you have to be content with what you are now, where you're at right now, instead of focusing on what you don't have. Because it's like everyone, it happens to me. And it's like, if it's not one thing, you will focus on something else. So it's changing your mindset. And like, I learned this in doing meditation. I'm like still learning that. But it's just, you know, focusing on the present. And I struggle with, even if it's not like comparing, it's just like thinking you're not enough and you're not doing enough. And it's like, I think it's today's age. Everyone's so go, go, go. Everyone's so focused on the next thing. You're not present in what you're doing. Like, I'll be on my phone at dinner with my parents. I should just be like focused on them. And it's just, it's a work in progress. And then I get hard on myself because I'm not doing it. So it's like everything is just like, at the end of the day, is just being nice to yourself and realizing that. I mean, the other negative side thing is that if you see these things on Facebook or Instagram, like we've already talked about, they're highlight reels, and whether it's on social media or in person, you don't know. Like, it's happened to us before. Mm-hmm. You do not know. Everything looks perfect on the outside. Yeah. You do not know what's going on behind the scenes, whether it's relationships, whether it's, like, health, whether it's appearance. You don't know, looking at someone, what they're actually going through. And I think it relates to, like, I mean, obviously I'm talking about personal experience, but it also is, like, you see someone in the street. Everything, you think their life is perfect. Everything about them is perfect. Like, you just might have this whole story looking, you know, if you're in the airport watching someone, you're like, oh, they have the cutest family. Mm-hmm. They have like the perfect setup, you know,
like everything. Even think about celebrities, you think they're gonna be together forever, they're so cute, and then they're like divorced the next day.
So you just don't know, or health, you don't know looking at someone what they're going through. And I think that's another thing to think about when you're sitting there down about it, what something appears to be. I mean, yes, it could be true, but what it could be something completely opposite of what you're thinking. So I think this whole cycle that's happening now makes everyone really upset. And I'm not gonna lie, I mean, my job is social media, but I think social media has a lot of negative things mm-hmm. related to that too. So I think that those are, it's just being mindful of all those things.
Yes. Well, on a more positive note, when we got to that retreat a month ago, we heard about essential oils before, but we went to this retreat. If you guys didn't listen to that episode, we talked kind of about the retreat a little bit, but it was Dr. Axe and his wife Chelsea, and he is very into like the natural health and natural wellness, and essential oils are obviously, I'm sure everyone's read about them before. We had kind of used them a little bit, but not in a huge amount by any means. But the other day, you had a really bad migraine, right?
I think I've talked about this like in different things, and we're actually gonna maybe in a couple months talk about all our health issues. Like, once I want to wait till everything's resolved before I start telling
it's not you, resolved yeah
it's not at all telling everyone, like, you know, kind of our experience and like what we did, and not that we're gonna be doctors, but maybe like some books like we read, stuff we went through, just because like I know, I'm sure a lot of people are struggling. And basically what we're struggling with is we have candida overgrowth,
hormonal imbalance.
It's all kind of connected. I have really bad inflammation right now, and I'm trying to think what else
is heavy going metal
on. Yeah, so I have a lot of health issues, and that's kind of what I was touching on. Like, I probably have been struggling for a couple years and I didn't know it. It wasn't until I started noticing it more recently, like, it really started affecting me. So obviously, like I was talking on social media, like, everything, like, you would think a couple years ago, I mean, I thought I was perfectly fine. I worked out all the time, but I've been dealing with a lot of health issues. My point is that, on that tangent, normally when I'd have a headache, I was struggling with headaches for a long time, and then they kind of went away, but these were all symptoms of some of the stuff that's going on with me. And something was really interesting too, because I was going to another appointment the other day, and if you haven't realized, I go on a million tangents. My mind's like in 20 things. But I was thinking about how when people say you're in pain, there's something going on. And our society is so used to, you know, if you have a headache, take Tylenol. You have like stomach pain, take Pepto-Bismol. Instead of figuring out, why do I have these issues? Like, it's not normal to just have headaches all the time. And so they kind of went away. But my point is, I had one the other day, and I'm not supposed to be taking like Tylenol and things like that right now. So I was like, I haven't actually taken it in a long time because I haven't had a headache. And normally I'd say it's because I'm dehydrated or whatever, but that's not why. I was drinking enough water. So my point was, I was trying to think of natural things I could do that would help. I had like a horrible, it wasn't a headache, I had a migraine. And I actually didn't have, sometimes I have migraine medicine and I didn't have any actually, and I just had Tylenol. And it was so bad I did take the Tylenol, but I wanted something else I could do, like, because I knew that wasn't alone going to take it away. So my point was, I remembered that I'd read something of peppermint oil being really good for headaches and tension, stuff like that. So I put that on my temples and on the back of my ears, and I forget where else I put it, but it helped so much. So it kind of feels like you have what pepper would feel like, where it's cooling. Once you put it on your body, after a while it takes effect. And I guess it's kind of the same thing as you putting like a washcloth or something on your face for migraines. And it really helps with my headache. And then some people messaged me and told me like even smelling it helps. So it's really, and it just made me think, like, I've had all these essential oils sitting on my counter and I need to do something with them.
Yeah. So we did some research, like, as we were talking about earlier in our podcast, because we are not experts at all in essential oils. And I know a lot of people, like, distribute them and kind of sell them. And there's so many different ways you can get them. But, and there's so many companies too. But we did some research on kind of like what, I mean, obviously I know that they're really beneficial, but for those of you guys who don't know, essential oils are organic compounds that are extracted from plants. So they have a bunch of healing properties and they're very, very natural. So I know a lot of people, there's a lot of stuff in the media, especially about like the diffusers, like the scented things that you plug in the wall or people put in their car. They're like toxic for you. They're really, really bad. Yeah. Oh. I didn't know. I mean, we used to put them in our car all the time. But essential oils are, you can use that for the same purpose with diffusers and stuff in your house. And I'm sure there's stuff for your car. I don't know. But those are, like, really, really bad for you. I don't know in detail but I've read so many articles. It's, like, really – I saw something on Instagram. Somebody was talking on the road in Uber, and they had, like, the person had their car, and they were saying, like, please get rid – like, take them out or whatever.
I don't use them now. But I don't know if you're going to go into that, but you can use them other – so you can use them in a diffuser.
Yeah.
You can put them in, like, recipes as flavor – like, yeah, as natural flavoring. Or you can put them in your water. Like, you can put them in alcohol.
I haven't tried any
of these yet. You can use stuff with it.
But, and then you can put it on your body, but too. You can do – like, there's so many health benefits to them, and there's several that we've tried recently. But some of the main benefits are they help with, like, cold and flu symptoms and like headaches, like Samantha was saying, and they can relax in your body and kind of soothe sore muscles. So there's certain oils that are good for if you like sore muscles and alleviate pain, some that are improve digestion and cellulite and wrinkles. I mean, I don't know to what degree that these, I mean, I don't know what you have to be using to get these benefits, but we know the headache, that it for sure worked for that. I would say, I mean, we haven't, like I said, we haven't explored that much with them, but there's so much you can do with them, and it's really crazy. But some of the ones that we've tried, obviously, it was the peppermint that Samantha said. The frankincense is one that we learned about at Dr. Axe's retreat, and it helps to build immunity, reduce inflammation, and with the age spots and, like, stuff on
so
your
I
skin.
So I put for that one, yeah. I put it – some people were wondering – so you can put them in – I put it in, like, a face cream I'm using, so I just put a couple drops of that in there. And they're very, like, the scents are strong. So you don't need to put, like, the whole bottle. They're expensive, so you just use a little bit. And it helps. I don't know if I've seen a difference yet, but it's supposed to help with, like, spots. It helps with your skin tone.
Yeah. And then some of the other ones are obviously grapefruit is supposed to be really good. And if you mix with coconut oil and you rub it on, apparently, on your cellulite.
You can put it in water,
or you can put it in, take it internally with some water. And, I mean, I love grapefruit, so that would be good. Obviously, lavender. Everyone knows about lavender. And it just, like, smells so good. Like, even on your sheets and your linens and stuff. Peppermint, we already talked about. And that's also really good for digestion, too. Like, we always drink a lot of peppermint teas. I mean, there's so many.
There was an oat tea tree. I use that a lot, actually, on... I think it's more widely known. I use that on, like, if I have any kind of cystic acne or even just, like, a normal pimple. It has antimicrobial qualities, so it's really good. I mean, it's very potent. The smell is really strong. My boyfriend always knows when I put it on. Mm-hmm. I'll put it on recently.
Oh, yeah, the smell.
My face just smells like egg in a bed. And he's like, oh, I can tell you put that on. It's very strong smelling, so be careful of that. But it goes away after. It doesn't smell like that all day. You can put it on. And I like it because if you're wearing other blemish treatment, first of all, most blemish if it's like cystic, it's like under the skin. So like these blemish treatments they take forever for them to go away, for one, in general. But the blemish, any kind of those treatments, they're not going to really work that well on that. And these are, like, literally antimicrobial. So you can put it on. You just, like, put a little dot with a Q-tip or you can use your finger on there. And it dries. It's like an oil. So I like that you can put that under your makeup. It does dry out your skin if you put, like, a lot around that area. Yeah, I've done that before. If you put too much on your skin that's not breaking out, it will dry it out. That's what it does. But I love that you can put it under your makeup or and you're not going to have, like, a gross cakey makeup on underneath.
Yeah.
And it works well. It does really work. And it's all natural. You don't have like weird stuff on your face. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the other oils too that you can use for your face, but those are the ones that we really like. And you can, I mean, there's so many different scents and kinds. And if you just Google it, there's a ton of research and stuff. I'm not saying you're going to like be able to cure everything in your body, but I think for the headache alone, that was like amazing.
Oh, no. Our health, like I said, I do want to talk about it, but I want to wait until I'm like feeling better. But this year has taught me like, so I already cared about what I put on my body, but this has taught me a lot about like, you know, definitely going the natural route instead of just buying stuff like just because for whatever, just because it's easy and it's convenient.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of buying stuff, we have our favorites for this week. Are two things that we either order on repeat or that we have ordered recently. And one of them I'm very excited to share is a jewelry cleaner that...
And some of you guys had messaged me about it. And I meant to put in my stories and I didn't. So here it is.
I didn't put in my story, but it is called the Magnasonic Professional Cleaner. And it's a jewelry cleaner, but it also can clean like your sunglasses and... Here we go, what else? There were some other things you can put in there.
I think it's in silverware. I mean, that's silverware.
What a dishwasher is for, but...
It's not that big.
Yeah, it's... And the one we have is, like, a table. Like, you just...
Is it kind of bigger?
Maybe. I don't know. The one we have was, like, $30 or $40, and we got on Amazon. And I'll share the link in the blog post for this episode. And I loved it. So I think it took 180 seconds or something like that. So you put all your jewelry. Like, I put all my David Yurman bracelets in there except for the pearl one. I think, yeah. I put all my David Yurman bracelets in there except for the pearl one. I had, like, my diamond earrings, and I did not put my watch in there, even though I think you can. I was just, like, really paranoid about it, but I know other people put their Michelle watch in there, but I put, so you fill it up with a little bit of water and, like, some soap, and then it has, like, a little basket you put in there, and you put all your jewelry in the basket, and then you shut the top lid, and you hit start or whatever, and it, like, slowly vibrates a little, and it shakes. I mean, not, like, aggressively, just a little bit. And it times it, like, I think it's 180 seconds. And then you take it out, and the water was, like, dirty. I was, like, I mean, I clean myself pretty often, but it was, like, really gross. So, I mean maybe it was, I kind of liked to see, like, all the...
But your jewelry, someone was asking how we keep our jewelry clean. I mean, when you wear it, especially the earrings, you mean shampoo and, like, just sweat.
Hairspray,
hair product, makeup. They get all in your earrings, so... It's and then think about your other jewelry, just bracelets. I don't wear them every day.
Yeah.
But if you put lotion, just being like dirt and stuff being outside, it all gets on your jewelry. So they get dirty very easily.
Yeah. And so what I loved, this was so easy. You just put it in there. You don't have to do anything. And then when it's done, you take it out and you rinse it. And make sure when you're rinsing stuff, like you close the drain. I mean, that's never happened to me, but I'm scared. I mean, you can imagine losing something down the drain. So yeah, make sure you close the drain and then rinse them off and you just like dry them off and they're like super shiny and sparkly and it's, you don't even have to do anything. For the watches, I will say if you don't put them in there, I just get like an old toothbrush, not one that I used, but an old toothbrush that I never used, and I just gently brush it with some soap and water, like Dawn, like the mild soap. And then we just kind of brush those and rinse them off the same way. But my earrings were so shiny, and same with my rings. So
I think I need to clean mine. And I think it takes away, I would be like so bad about cleaning because I'm like, I don't feel like soaking them and it's a whole process. So this one, hopefully I'll be in a better routine about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how often you're supposed to, I don't even know.
Plus like you're wearing such nice jewelry. You want it to look shiny how it should be. So another favorite, that we buy on repeat are these silicone breast pedals. And you get so awkward. So what do you want me to call them? What's a better name? I don't know.
Pasties.
That sounds even worse. I don't know. Anyway, they're what I use for basically what I live in basically all summer when I'm wearing clothes because I have a ton of camisoles, a lot of things that are open back or like off shoulder or different things. And I wear those, like you wear them over your nipples so they don't show. And especially for things that are see-through or just, like, really thin or just, like, in the summer, it's so hot. Who wants to wear a bra? So I wear them pretty much all the time. They make the ones that are like in, like I know at Nordstrom's they carry the ones that are just like the cloth. They're like the stickers, petals. Basically. They're petals. And I like this a lot too for certain things. Like if things are like really flush, like you don't want anything sticking out. But the only downside of those are that they are like one time use because they're stickers. So, I mean, you can wear them. I've sometimes accidentally let them on for like a day. I forgot to take them off and I like showered with them. But you can, like, I would suggest buying both of them because you can, depending on the outfit, one's better than another. But I really do wear the silicone ones way more in general. They're just, in my opinion, more comfortable because they're not like stickers. They're just like sticky, like silicone. And they're like flush color, like your skin color. And they're just, you can, and you can reuse them a lot. So you just store them with the plastic, they come back. That's what I do. They say something about rinsing with water. I don't do that. I just take them off and I put the sticker back on them. And then, I mean, I lose a lot of them, I'll be honest. But they're so easy to, you know, to travel with you, put anywhere, you can put them in your bag. But they're reusable, so I like them. And they go, it's pretty much what I wear under pretty much everything. And I will make one note that a lot of people, that's probably one of my most DM questions recently in summer, but is what I wear under all these tops. And they make ones that are like more bra-like that I've tried before. But a side note is that we've talked about another podcast. We both have breast implants. And so a lot of people message me saying they have a big chest like me, but I did have a larger chest. So in high school and college, and more on that in another episode if you want to listen more about the breast augmentation. That's in one of the older episodes. But anyway, I used to wear strapless bras all the time, and it's just a lot harder to wear other clothes. You can do it, but a lot of they make ones that are more like for open backs. I think ones that are like, they just go to the middle of your, like the side of you, that are like more like bras, so you can wear with open back. But the silicone ones are like just better because you just have, you know, it's just more free. You're not like strapped in a bra. But the other thing is with having breast implants, they are just higher and perkier than natural breasts. And I had, like I said, I had a larger chest in college and I had to wear strapless bras just because like I wanted to be, you want more of like a cleavage. So since I have, they're higher up, I can wear like the petals and they look higher in camisoles. They don't look like I'm like droopy, but that's something to consider. I mean, that's not to say if you don't have, you know, if you have natural breasts, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to you can't wear them. But it is, if you're wondering, you know, like, how do I get a lift with them at the same time? You can't. They don't support you if that's what you're looking for. They're just basically like to cover, and then you just wear the top. So
yeah,
I would definitely try them if you're on the edge about it, on the fence about it, and then just see edge from the fence about it and see if they work for you. You could always return them, but I get them on Amazon too, and we'll link them in the blog post.
Yep. So that's all we have for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for all your requests and feedback that you guys provide us. It really means so much to us. We love getting the topic ideas from you guys because we feel like we're really sharing what you guys want to hear. So if you guys do have any future topic ideas, you can always DM us on Instagram at alexis.bellbell and at samanthabellbell. And you can always email us too at doubledoseblog@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys soon.